Chapter 40, The Project, Spreading Informed Consent to the World. The home looked like any other home, in a suburb that looked like any other suburb, and was filled with about 20 people who looked like any other people. White, black, Asian, Latino, Middle Eastern, people from all over the world were represented, although each one of these families lived within about a 10-mile radius of this neighborhood. Most of them had a baby on a lap. Some still had babies inside their laps. A few were standing in the back of the living room tending to a little one, and all were listening intently to the speaker. And so, to conclude, you've heard a lot of information tonight. You should now have a pretty clear understanding of each of the diseases that vaccines are designed to prevent, and the risk that these diseases pose or don't pose to your little ones. We discussed the known risks of vaccination, the risks that the CDC has determined are real and valid. We also looked a bit outside the CDC at other published research to get a broader understanding of vaccine risk. You also have a basic knowledge of the vaccine schedule and how your doctor will be presenting it to you. I've explained what the vaccine law is here in this state now, and how that law will apply to your child, and I've briefly shown you what factors doctors might consider in granting your child an exemption to this law. Then there's my own experience with vaccines in my family, which I've shared with you. Please understand that my personal stories and beliefs are not necessarily the same as the organization's. I've been very careful to separate the two, so you would know what is their official information that has been very carefully vetted, and what is simply my own opinion. So now we have some time for questions, if there are any. 20 hands went up, as Donald knew they would. They always did. Let me ask you to keep your hand up if you are wanting me to try to help you make your own personal decision about vaccines. Yep, that's what I thought. Most of you. Well, let's get the few other questions out of the way first, then we'll see if we can tackle the general uncertainty that I know you all share. I was uncertain at some point as well. So, let's start with you, in the front. Well, I want to know why my doctor won't explain all this to me. You've given me more information about vaccines in one evening than my doctor ever has in the 3 years I've been going to his office. I think you know more about vaccines and the diseases than he does. My pediatrician won't even have this conversation with me. I've tried, twice, and he just said that I have to vaccinate or get out. Mine too. Yeah, mine actually did give me a 2-minute talk on how rare it is to see bad reactions, and seizures and high fever are about the only things to be aware of. Really? Mine too. Who is your pediatrician? It's Dr. Hold up, folks. This is a good question, and let's not name names here. These doctors do deserve our respect, at least if they have shown you respect, which most of them do.
Not mine.
Yeah, mine neither. I know, I know. I hear all the stories. But let's focus on what you all want to learn tonight. You want to know what you should do, and why your doctors won't discuss it with you. First, doctors don't have a lot of time. If you've tried to ask a lot of vaccine questions at a checkup, and the doctor felt pressed for time, then that's more your fault than his or hers. Schedule a separate time for a Q&A session. That way your doctor has time to discuss it. Now, your doctor may still not agree with your concerns, but at least you'll have time to voice them. But realize that your doctor can't spend hours with you like I just did. So you can't expect your doctor to educate you. You have to educate you. Then run your questions by your doctor. Second, you really have to go to a doctor who is at least open to spreading out the shots or delaying some you don't want. A doctor who won't kick you out if you don't want to follow the CDC schedule. Because any doctor who won't keep you as a patient if you don't comply simply won't give you an objective conversation. You want a doctor who will serve you and your child no matter what you decide. That's the kind of doctor whom you can have this conversation with. The organization has a network of such doctors. These are physicians who take informed consent for vaccination more seriously. They will go over all the pros and cons of vaccination or give you objective materials to read so you can make a fully educated decision. The third reason it's so hard to have this conversation with most doctors is that many just flat out believe that vaccines are so good and so safe that there isn't or shouldn't be a choice. So they honestly don't think there is anything to discuss, and they are annoyed that you want to talk about it. They aren't out to get you or deceive you, in my opinion. They just see vaccines as so good and necessary that there's only one right choice. Most of their patients seem to handle vaccines well, and the ones that don't often end up leaving so the doctor doesn't remember them. To them, vaccines are safe, and they are entitled to that belief, and you are entitled to find another doctor. But why do they get so angry? One mom asked. I mean, seriously, red in the face, angry. I hear that a lot. I suspect that, in addition to the fact that they truly think that all vaccines are equally safe and effective, and that they will save your baby's life, the reason for the extreme anger is that they mistakenly believe you are being misinformed about vaccine risk, that someone is lying to you, that you are getting all your information from an actress, Playboy model, or heretic doctors who have lost their licenses to practice medicine. It's like they think you've joined a cult. They get so angry that you are buying a lie perpetrated by non-medical people. They are angry that you are believing people outside of medicine over and above their own well-trained expert opinion. And honestly, if all that were true, I'd be mad at you too. But I know the truth about where you've gotten your information. You've all read CDC information and vaccine warning labels from the manufacturers themselves and published medical research. These are your sources, and that's why you are worried. Sure, you'll also get input from heretics, a little laugh from the room, but most of what you've read before coming here is basic medical information. That's a tactic many doctors and the media use to discredit people who speak out about vaccine risk. They attack them as people so that the public will discount their opinions. But can't a former Playboy model turned actress be an intelligent woman with a valid opinion and a real story to tell? Are all doctors who lose their licenses automatically heretics? The way I see it, every person who researches vaccines is entitled to hold an educated opinion. And that's why we, as an organization, are so careful to only educate you with solid medical data and disclose when something we say is more just an opinion. But this type of closed mindset from doctors is what really gave rise to this project. The doctor who started this is himself a pediatrician. He and a few others realized that there was a nationwide and even a worldwide need for people to be able to openly have this conversation with educated, trained, experienced people who have a thorough understanding of vaccines and infectious diseases. I know. This should be a conversation you can have with your doctor, but most of you can't. And honestly, can you really spend 2 hours with your doctor asking questions? No. So we provide a safe place where you can. Realize that I can't and won't give you any specific medical advice because that would be inappropriate. But I will give you general advice that is specific enough so you can reason out this decision on your own, or even in groups as you discuss this with each other in the weeks to come. Even at the next meeting, which you are all welcome to bring another friend to. That's how we grow. And if you want to learn more about becoming an educator yourself, let me know, and I will definitely encourage you to continue asking your doctor questions until you feel satisfied with the decision you make. Okay, so should you vaccinate or not? I already told you that I can't officially tell you that, but I can walk you through the decision-making process and help you find a decision that you are comfortable with, whether it's all vaccines, some vaccines, or no vaccines. And I anticipate that some of you will still be unsure what you should do after we've talked through all the options. That's why this group isn't just one meeting. Keep coming back until you are comfortable making a decision. Then help others make their decision too. Sadly, since most people can no longer get this help from a doctor, we're the ones who will help you, and we are well trained to do it. I know a lot of you like the concept of vaccination, but you're not necessarily comfortable with the risks. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Consider this idea as your first exercise. What is the default position, or the status quo, so to speak? If you can't decide, what should you do by default? Do you just go ahead and vaccinate because that's the norm and you can't find enough reasons not to do it? Or should you instead only proceed with vaccination because you know that is what you want to do? In other words, don't just vaccinate because you can't decide. If you can't decide, then don't start. In my experience, virtually every parent who begins vaccines with the wrong mindset ends up regretting it later. Not because of bad reactions in most cases. They are mad at themselves because they didn't really want to do it, but someone pushed them into it and they figured, oh, that's just what I'm supposed to do. But in their hearts, they didn't want to. And most end up stopping the process once this reality hits them. Instead, look at this decision another way. Your baby is born, pure and healthy, and is getting a natural start to life. You then have to decide if you should intervene with a complex medical procedure. The default should be no vaccines, and then you do vaccines if you consider them to be important, and you are comfortable with their safety. If you don't think they are safe or important enough, then what should your default be? Just let your baby continue on his or her healthy, natural, and merry little way, or begin an intervention you are uncomfortable with. That's your choice. But I'd like you to approach that choice from the right perspective. So, right now, you all have unvaccinated babies. Let's now walk through all the pros and cons of changing that condition to one in which you accept the immunities and the side effects that vaccines can offer. But instead of deciding to opt out, you are deciding whether or not the right decision for your baby is to opt in. The quarter-hour Q&A session ended up lasting 2 hours, that is. They always did. And Donald and his wife were always ready with coffee to keep people talking. Babies were nursed, bathroom breaks were taken quickly, plates were refilled with snacks. But the talking never stopped, because parents never could get enough information. That's all they really wanted: truthful, complete, objective medical information that would allow them to make what they feel would be the best and safest choice for their child. And Donald knew that such meetings were taking place nationwide as he spoke. Groups that provided education about immunity, led by trained volunteers just like him. Because no one else was doing it, and it had to be done. And that was all the reward he needed. Epilogue. John watched his toes wiggle out from under the cool sand, not yet warmed by the just-risen sun. The bay was quiet, as it was every morning. The waves gently lapped the edge of the beach in a rhythm that he found peaceful, far more peaceful than his mornings used to be. He loved to start each day sitting in the sand with his coffee, gazing out at his new backyard, while his wife slept the extra few morning hours he'd never been able to. which was all good to him because morning was his writing time, when the words flowed effortlessly onto the pages. And writing while his wife slept meant that she wouldn't be condemned to living this new life alone while her husband spent all day staring at his computer. John stood up and stretched, walked the 10 paces back to the covered deck that was his new office, and sat down at his desk. The old wooden picnic table had come with the place, and its stark contrast to the desk he'd left behind pretty much nutshelled his new life compared to his old one. The one-room beach house, well, shack was a better word, was just icing on the cake. A very thin layer on a cupcake, maybe. Lucky for him, John liked thin icing and cupcakes. The quiet bay started its morning around John while he weaved a story in chapter 3 of his second book. Fishermen pushed their little skiffs out into the water to hunt down the morning's catch. Children splashed quietly in the calm water. Dogs roamed the sand looking for John didn't know what. Boats sailed past on the morning breeze. The occasional beachwalker strode by, wondering who this new light-skinned man and woman were who had recently joined their community. John had made sure his wife would be okay with having to start a new life before he'd gone ahead with his plan. He'd known it was a risk, but he'd also known that people needed the truth. They deserved it. Their children deserved it more. Some of his colleagues had warned him not to do it, and part of John had never really thought it would come to this, that he would lose so much and have to leave it all behind. But his wife had assured him, "All I need is a shack on the beach. And you." And that's exactly all they had now. That and the book. And the project. They could fly back to the States to visit their grown kids as often as they liked, especially when the grandbabies started coming, and to help keep the project going. He knew that would be enough to fulfill his life. He also knew he'd soon be able to start practicing in the community here once the local medical board approved his license. They sorely needed a pediatrician here, and John was eager to serve. Meanwhile, a second book was already writing itself in his mind, and it should only take a few months of mornings to get it down on paper. Sandra couldn't believe the results of the latest rounds of side effect data. Oops, I mean adverse event data, she corrected herself. 7 out of every 100 had reported screaming. That can't be right. Not again. Every group they'd given the new product to had shown an unusually high rate of what sounded like encephalitis. Oh well, her boss would know how to reconfigure the data into something palatable. Sandra was hoping to be promoted to the Phase 3 research group, and only those researchers who helped get the new product to that phase would be promoted. But she knew all the study groups were getting similar results, so it would be up to the higher-ups to come up with a solution. Unless... Sandra suddenly had an idea. Yes, that might work. If she could... The creaking of the floorboards behind John announced that writing time was over, and he didn't need to turn around to know his wife was up and headed toward the kitchen corner to pour the coffee he'd left for her. She'd take a few sips just to wake up. Then he'd brew her something fresh for her to really savor. That was their routine. That and other things. They had a whole island to explore, and a whole island full of people to get to know. And they had nothing but time now. His fingers quickly summed up Sandra's new idea before he closed his computer. John knew he'd forget what it was by tomorrow morning, and he didn't want Sandra to forget either. So he typed out a few last words that would jog both their memories tomorrow, hit save, and closed his laptop as the creaking steps reached the doorway out to the back porch. He stood up to greet the thing he loved most in this world. "Good morning, Mrs. Ryan." "Good morning, Dr. Ryan." resources. Vaccine safety research is ever-changing. Instead of listing all resources here, you can find links to all the research studies, articles, and news reports presented in this book, and more, at www.johnphilipryan.com. And follow John Philip Ryan on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at John Philip Ryan. Author's note: do not keep this book on your shelf. When you are done reading, give it away. This work was meant to live, to roam far and wide, and to spread love and understanding. Don't let it gather dust next to all your other novels. Sure, read it twice if you must, or three times. You may find yourself among the many characters and stories whose lives will seem all too familiar. But don't let your tears smudge the ink, or the fire of your anger singe the edges. If you need to tear some pages out, please tape them back in, because you'll want the next reader to see every word. Share this book with everyone you love, and, even better, with those who don't understand the choices you have made. Perhaps they will come to see that there doesn't have to be two sides to this tale, after all.